and is kind of the old gym, and it's been beautifully rebuilt, and there's now increasingly theatrical things along with yoga classes and many things. And the infamous South Perry District, just right there at about 10th and Perry, is the place, and so we got to get that stressed. And it has lately been a place where interesting experimental theater, experimental in the best sense, experimental where you know the experiment's going to come out okay, theater, is happening. And this time I think there's a lot to say for the veracity of this, because Love, Loss, and What I Wore by Nora Ephron and Delia Ephron. Five women in the show and a director. Pam Kinsley, lead us into this show.
Well, originally I asked a couple of gals, would they be interested, actresses, wonderful actresses, just because I wanted to work with them again.
good taste.
Jean Hardy and Susan Hardy. And about 30 years ago, this time 30 years ago, we were getting ready, the three of us, plus Marilyn Langbin and Janice Abramson, to premiere in Spokane, Angry Housewives.
Wow.
We go way back, and the talent with these two gals is amazing, and I really wanted to work with them again. And then there were three other young actresses that I just, by young, you know, in their 30s
less than you and me.
Yes, young to me, that I really wanted to work with, because I had, when I returned here to Spokane, had a little acquaintance with them, and they're wonderful too. That is Andrea Tate, Kearney Jordan, and Jenny Oliver.
And so there's your fivesome. So then there's always the chicken and the egg thing. Did you have the play that required five actresses?
I did.
So move in, because I assume that's really, because you the 30-some years ago, the play that you did then, remind me what you just said.
It was Angry Housewives. It was a musical that originated in Seattle and had not been anywhere else in the state, certainly, and was getting ready to go over to New York. And I said, I would love to do that here. And we got the rights for it. This particular play.
Yeah, because I want to ask you about this particular thing. Do you feel this is in the same, at the same level in significance,
totally.
Right?
This particular play, I saw and was thrilled with. It was humorous and moving, and it spoke to women everywhere, and the audience went crazy for it. It premiered in New York in 2009, and of course, you know Nora Ephron, wonderful writer, did some great initial writing for several papers and magazines. I think New Yorker was one of them, but also did When Harry Met Sally and You've Got Mail and, you know, all of those wonderful kind of rom-coms. Anyway, when this opened in New York, every actress in New York clamored to be in it. So they did rotations every 6 weeks of all the famous actresses in New York taking on these roles. Originally, Tyne Daly played the Gingy role. And Gingy is the central character in this particular play.
Okay. Then let's meet Gingy. Gingy, describe, played by here by Jean Hardy, describe yourself.
Gingy is a woman who has had a full and wonderful life. She's been married and not married. She's had children. She's traveled. She's had tragedy. She's had triumph. And now she's older. She calls herself the forgotten woman. But she starts thinking about clothes that she wore and what she was doing when she wore that particular piece of clothing, and expresses memories about them, which then expand to the other people. The whole thing is not all Gingy. She's sort of the center of it, but sets the tone.
Yeah, and you coming in with your gloriously red hair, we know that you're Gingy.
Maybe a little gloriously red than usual.
and without getting too deep into it, and you who have experienced some of the same things that Jinji has experienced.
Absolutely. We both had a David.
Yeah, nice.
And, she falls in love. She falls out of love. Mm-hmm. She's now older and experiencing that thing where people used to look at her in one way, and now they look right past her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But she's got a great sense of humor and a great, you know, attitude about the whole thing. And decided, and this is based on a real woman, Eileen Beckerman, who did this, who drew these pictures and wrote this little book. And somebody took it to a publisher and said, this is great. And they published it, and it became kind of a little cult hit. And the Efrons picked it up and said, this ought to be a play. And they took the material and expanded it. And I think it speaks absolutely to every woman at any age. You've had some of the things in this you're going to relate to.
Nice. Jean Hardy in the role of Jinji. Does that mean that maybe that's the first piece that we'll go to?
Yeah.
So set this up. We have a couple of sections from the play Love, Loss, and What I Wore, which is three performances Mother's Day weekend, Friday, Saturday, 7:30, and Sunday at 5. Okay, so Susan Hardy and Jean Hardy, anything we need to know about this?
No, this is just Jinji starting to introduce you to her world.
Good.
One day I was lying in bed with a backache, and I started thinking about a dress I used to wear. I drew a picture of it. Then I thought of another one. I decided to draw the dresses to hold on to them. And when I finished, I thought, these pictures tell a story. Like my Brownie uniform. My mother was our Brownie leader at Hunter College Elementary School on 69th Street between Lexington and Park. Even though she was our Brownie leader, she never got a Brownie leader's uniform. It was too expensive. My mother.
Jinji, put on your leggings.
I hated putting on my leggings, which were held up by suspenders, and I always had a tantrum.
I won't! You have to put on your leggings if you're going to play in the snow.
No, I don't.
If you don't, you know what'll happen? You'll get polio.
You can't imagine how many ways there were to get polio. You could get it from swimming pools and drinking water, and most terrifying of all, from swallowing a fly. Everybody called me Jinji because I was born with ginger-colored hair. My mother was a large, handsome woman who didn't wear fancy clothes, maybe because we couldn't afford them. Once, my grandmother surprised her with a silver fox stole for her birthday or Mother's Day. I can't remember which. My mother tried it on, but she never wore it after that day. She usually wore a dark print dress and brown shoes with a buckle. She wore glasses, but whenever I draw her picture, I always forget to draw the glasses. Her face had the most beautiful shape.
Jinji, what's that smell?
What smell?
You know perfectly well what smell.
It was perfume. It was taboo. I smelled like...
You smell like a bordello. You're too young to wear perfume.
Tootsie wears perfume.
Tootsie is 17. You're only 12 years old. You're still a baby.
I am not a baby.
And you smell so sweet without it. When you were a little girl, I used to bury my head in your neck and inhale.
She used to bury her head in my neck and inhale.
A scene from this play, Love, Loss, and What I Wore, Nora Ephron, Delia Ephron. Who's Delia Ephron relative to Nora
sister.
Ephron? Pardon me?
Her sister.
Her sister. Okay, mm-hmm. Cool.
And a writer, you know, in her own right.
Yeah, I assume. And so this done by Jean Hardy and Susan Hardy. Already we learn so much. We get so much of the era and the feeling. And all of this. And I know that we have a group piece coming up. We should say there are five actors in this, the four that we're going to be hearing from today. And then
Jenny Oliver,
who is the fifth. And that's really great, too, because I gather in the sense of this play, it does the cast of characters needs to be a wide range of ages and experiences and things like that.
Absolutely. There are all sorts of vignettes. In fact, the five actresses in the show play 30 different characters. So not only is it a versatility of sorts, it's various stories. Some are very moving. Some are laugh out loud hysterical. We crack ourselves up all the time. Mm-hmm. We're our best audience. But as Jean said, it speaks to every woman, all ages. It also speaks to men, too, because mm-hmm. they like to get in on what's going on in their women's lives and their heads and hearts. So it's for everybody. It's quite wonderful. There are scenes that include a gal who wore boots and short skirts, and then came a reason she could no longer do that. There's another a woman who whose husband is in prison, and how she deals with that. There's a woman who fell in love with her shirt and can't find it anymore. And longs for that shirt.
Sure. Now, that's not just limited to women.
No, it isn't. Yes. And of course, there is a little diatribe on the bane of our existence. Man. The purse.
Oh, the purse. Yeah, the purse. Sure.
And then there's these things called clotheslines. And the clotheslines are the entire ensemble speaks to one subject and lets you know what they think about these subjects, in particular one we brought for you today.
Good. Well, then let's do that, because then after that I'm going to want kind of testimonials from each of you of some other ways that this play has reached you. But let's go ahead and hear this group scene. So this our director Pam Kingsley doing Jenny Oliver's part. So these are the five actors of this play doing this scene. Let's hear it.
What my mother said.
Don't wear stripes and prints together.
Loafers ruin your feet.
Stop tugging at your crotch, Samantha.
If you wear a girdle, you will destroy your stomach muscles.
Always wear clean underpants in case you die in a car accident.
You never wear that dress. Do you know how much I paid for it?
Never buy a red coat.
I saw your friend Stephanie at the mall. Is she wearing the blouse I bought you?
Go right back upstairs and take that off.
Nice Jewish girls do not get their ears pierced.
You'd be so pretty if you
lost weight.
Gained weight.
Didn't make faces.
Fixed your nose.
Cut your hair.
Combed your hair.
Washed your hair.
Kept your hair out of your eyes.
Stood up straight.
Ate fruit.
Put on a little lipstick.
Took off all that makeup.
Oh, honey, you look so beautiful.
Just looking at you, I'm gonna cry. My little baby is all grown up.
You're so pretty.
Do you know how pretty you are?
You're pretty enough for all normal purposes.
Is that what you're wearing?
Are you wearing that deliberately to annoy me?
Never wear white before Memorial Day.
Never wear white after Labor Day.
Never wear white.
You're much too young to wear black.
Never wear black pants with a white shirt or you'll look like the caterer's help.
Never wear velvet before Rosh Hashanah.
What did you do to your hair?
Is that a tattoo?
If you wear that, you're going to be sent home for breaking the dress code.
Take that off. You look like a slut.
You look like a prostitute.
You look like a gypsy.
You look like a bag lady.
You look like a waitress in a Hungarian restaurant.
I don't understand. You could look so good if you just tried.
I don't know why I buy you things.
A tiara? You want a tiara? Where are you planning to wear a tiara?
Your bra strap is showing. What do you mean it's supposed to show?
Okay, boy, there we go. my question, I assume that each of you has heard many of these lines in your life.
Yes.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
But now here's my question. How many of those lines have you used?
Oh, A couple.
At least a couple.
I currently have a 15-year-old daughter, so I say at least once a week. Something like that comes out of my mouth.
That sounds about right. That's Kearney Jordan speaking. And let's move kind of from that question into ways that each of you has been affected by being involved in this play, in any aspect of this play that's spoken to you. Who wants to jump in on that one? Okay,
well,
Susan?
I'll jump in. What the heck? there's a couple of things. First of all, the opportunity to work with these guys is just, it's just amazing. So that is a wonderful thing. There's a distinctly Jewish sensibility about this play, because Nora, of course, and her sister speak from their own experience. So there are things about this play, like that line I just said, you know, about Rosh Hashanah, you know, never wear velvet before Rosh Hashanah. So I would hear that sort of thing. But also, one of my monologues in particular really speaks to me, because it's about a bathrobe. It's about a woman who lost her mother early in life, who had this amazing bathrobe that she always remembered. And it really calls up an image of a bathrobe that my mother had in a slightly different color. And doing that particular monologue really affects me and is a real joy to do in a very bittersweet kind of way. That one really speaks.
Susan Hardy, anybody else want to come in? Andrea Tate?
Sort of echoing what Susan said, the pull for this for me was being able to work with so many what I would consider titans of Spokane theater. Yeah.
That translates to old.
No.
It's intimidating and wonderful.
Yeah, being able to work alongside, you know, women that have done so much in the community and was really kind of the thing that pulled me in. But there's a piece towards the end of it in which I get to play an LGBT character. And that one, in the rehearsing and everything, has really gotten me. I've gotten to the point now where I pretty much cry every time at the end. And I just love that there's so much inclusion. As we've already said, you know, it really kind of appeals to everyone. There's something that everybody can take away from this show, and that's what's so amazing about it, because you can bring moms out for Mother's Day, and you know, it's not just for her. Like, you'll get to take something away from it too.
Nice. Anybody else?
I would just say we all have that piece of clothing that's really important to us, or that we tie to a certain memory, because it is a tangible item of an experience or a memory, and so it's just kind of a universal thing. And I definitely love talking about my heartbreak with my shirt.
And high heels.
And high heels. Yeah. Come to see me just fall out of my high heels. It's going to happen.
Okay, four of the five actors. I choose to call you actors or actresses. That alone could be another scene from this play, probably. of this love, loss, and what I wore. 7:30 Friday night and Saturday night. This weekend, and then Sunday, Mother's Day, a little later than usual theater time. You can get your nice dinner, your nice lunch in, and then it's at 5 p.m. The Actors Studio is 915 South Perry, just right there in the heart of the Perry District, and it'll be pretty obvious. Are you doing a Ticketmaster?
Ticket Leap.
Ticket Leap, yep, is what it's called.
Actors Studio, ticketleap.com. /love.
Okay, and probably if you just get as far as Actors Budio, Budio spelled Buddhio, then one of those titans of computers will lead you to that. Okay, wonderful to have you all. Thank you very much for
Thank you.
Enlivening the place a lot.
Thank you.